Welcome to the Tanakh podcast and our study of Sefer Tehillim. Today we begin with an introduction to the Book of Psalms. Before we start learning Sefer Tehillim chapter by chapter, I'd like to say a few words of introduction about this phenomenal book, a book which is almost a landscape of Jewish emotion throughout the years. Go on any bus in Jerusalem and you will see people reciting Tehillim. Obviously, go to the Kotel and you'll see people crying their eyes out reciting Tehillim. I always love the personality of Natan Sharansky, who was a Soviet dissident. He was jailed by the communists, and the thing which kept him company during all those years of isolation in the Soviet jails was actually a Sefer Tehillim, a book of Psalms sent by his wife Avital, through which he managed to get through all the ups and downs. When the Russians tried to take it from him, he went on hunger strike for almost 100 days in order to get it back. And in fact, many people have told me that he carries it with him still till today. Everywhere he goes, it's sitting in his pocket, his Sefer Tehillim. He called his autobiography, Fear No Evil. Lo irara ki ata imadi. I will fear no evil because you are with me. Sefer Tehillim has a phenomenal hold on the Jewish people. So let's say a few words of introduction about Sefer Tehillim. First of all, the name, Tehillim. Tehillim comes from the word Hallel, right? The most famous word from Tehillim is Hallelujah, maybe. And therefore, Tehillim comes from the word Hallel, indicating that Tehillim is about praise. However, its English name, Psalms, is very different. Psalms comes more like a Latin translation of the word Mizmor, right? And Mizmor comes from the notion of lezamer, to sing, to create music. So here we already have two names of Tehillim, okay, one which indicates praise, the other which indicates music. And if we look inside Sefer Tehillim itself, we will see a third name, where at the end of Perek Ayin Bet, at the end of chapter 72, we hear the line Kalu Tfilot David Ben Yishai. So it's actually called Sefer Tfilot, the Book of Prayers, which maybe has a more austere or beseeching nature. And indeed, when we look at Sefer Tehillim is an amazing collection of poetry, of religious poetry, whether it's personal or national, individual or collective, whether moments of triumph and joy and celebration, or moments of despair, fear, abandonment, sometimes victory, sometimes defeat, sometimes praise or thanks, sometimes wonder, hope, pleading with God, thanking God, such an amazing range of emotions. And it's here that I'd like to talk a little bit about the nature of the book, especially in contrast to Sefer Nevi'im. We're just starting Ketuvim. What's the difference between Nevi'im and Ketuvim? You know, when we get to Torah is very easy to define. Is defined as the message of God through Moshe, and therefore the Torah ends with Moshe's death. Every other Navi, every other prophet, is seen as a lower pedigree than Moshe. Says the Rambam, Moshe could get literally word-by-word dictation, whereas other prophets get a sort of an image or some sort of dream, and then they write it in their own words. So if you want, Torah is the concepts of God, the ideas of God, with the words of God. Nevi'im are the ideas of God, but with the words of human beings. But what's Ketuvim? The answer is one of direction. Whereas Nevuah is a message, a top-down message, Ketuvim is going to express a bottom-up, a grassroots. If Nevuah is a message from God to man, Tehillim are going to express the voice of human beings directed to God. And the 150 chapters, the 150 psalms of Tehillim are going to transcribe for us all the manifold ways in which we can raise our voices towards Hashem. Now, this isn't just any poetry. Chazal say that these particular 150 poems were included in Tanakh because they express something indelible, something perennial, something for all time, what we call Ruach HaKodesh. They're imbued with some special sanctity, and that's why these are included in the Tanakh. But let's take a moment to talk about authorship. Because when we look at Sefer Tehillim, many, many people will associate Sefer Tehillim with David HaMelech. And the truth is that King David is only associated with 73 of the 150 Pirkei Tehillim. But many others seem to be attributed to other people. For example, Tfilah LeMoshe Isha Elohim seems to be written by Moshe. Or maybe Lamnatzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor. So we have a whole bunch of psalms by the Bnei Korach, Shir Mizmor LeAsaf. Other authors like Asaf, Yudutun, Heman. Not only that, but some of the psalms seem to post-date King David. For example, when we have Al Naharot Bavel, Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu B'Zochreinu Sion, we cried as we remembered Zion, would seem to be from the time of the Churban, just like many, many other chapters which seem to refer to the Churban, Perek Ayin Tet, Perek Pei Tet, all seem to refer to events around the destruction of the temple and the demise of sovereignty. Or take, for example, maybe Shir HaMa'alot, B'Shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion, Hayinu K'cholmim. We were like dreamers when God brought back the captives of Zion. When would that be? Maybe after the Churban? So we've got Tehillim, which seem to be by people other than King David. And we've also got Tehillim, which seem to be after King David. So what do we do with that? Are all the Tehillim written by David HaMelech? The answer is that, in fact, there are other opinions. The Gemara in Baba Batra, Daf Yud Daled, says that Tehillim was written by 10 different scholars, if you want, or elders. And they mention Adam HaRishon, Malki Tzedek, which those are lovely because those show us that Tehillim don't need to be written by Jews. Avraham, Moshe, and then certain of the Leviim, Heman, Yedutun, Asaf, and Shloshet Bnei Korach. And says the Gemara there in Baba Batra that all of these 10 authors were then sort of collated by King David. So that answers one of the problems, the other authorship, but not the authorship after King David. But interestingly enough, there is another opinion. And that other opinion is found in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, where both Rabbi Yochanan and Rav each say that there were Tehillim which were after King David, and that the final editor of Tehillim is in fact Ezra. Ezra, we're talking about Second Temple. So in other words, that Tehillim could have been written before King David, during King David's time, and in the period afterwards, all the way till after the destruction of the First Temple and the return of Jews to Zion. And it was Ezra, who seems to be so associated with putting together the Tanakh, who actually compiled everything together. And in fact, Tehillim is compiled into 5 different books. And it seems like there were various layers of editing. So, for example, if you look at Perek Ayin Bet, at the end of Perek Ayin Bet, you see a postscript, Kalu Tfilot David Ben Yishai. This is the end of the Tfilot of David Ben Yishai. What that indicates is at some point, Tehillim was only 72 chapters long. And then there were other maybe batches of Tehillim. So we know that Tehillim, there are certain like subgroups. I'll give you an example. The 15 Shirei HaMa'alot. They each called Shir HaMa'alot or Shir LaMa'alot. And they seem to form a subgroup. So it's clear that there were sort of batches and smaller collections of Tehillim. And eventually these were all compiled together, including, as I say, 73 Psalms, which were of David HaMelech. So I think this is enough by way of an introduction. Maybe I'll just finish off with a story, because it's always fun to finish off with a story. After my teacher, Rav Lichtenstein, passed away, they told a wonderful story about him. that once a family member had been in great distress in the hospital, and the family were gathered there, each saying Tehillim. And at a certain point, the surgery was over, and the doctor came out of the room and said, you know, everything's fine, and, you know, you can go and all relax and join the patient in the recovery room soon. And everybody put down their books of Tehillim, except for Rav Lichtenstein. And his son-in-law went up to him. He was at the end of the corridor pouring out his heart to God. And he said to him, everything's okay, you know, you don't need to worry anymore. You can put down your Tehillim book. And he turned around and said, I've just been praying and beseeching God and asking for everything to go okay. And now that I heard everything's fine, now I'm saying other Tehillim, which are praising God. I'm saying thank you. So really, Tehillim becomes an amazing vehicle whereby we can express a huge range of emotions to Hashem. And each day we're going to take one of these chapters and try and connect in and understand a little more about it. So I'm looking forward to the journey together with you. And let's get going.